We didn't do our good news reports earlier because I wanted to include them, or the Lord wanted to include them, in this message this morning. And this message is not really a typical Thanksgiving message, but that's okay. But he still wanted us to start with giving thanks, having good news reports. So we're going to take that time now, and now I do need this handheld, to share a good news report, and bless the Lord. Who has one? Just stand up and actually come to me. Come to me. I'm the one in high heels. I am used to it, but.
Well, like I say, I went to the hospital, had a stent put in, and God just, I don't know, Early Friday morning, we stayed in Edmonton, and I had woke up, I don't know what time it was, but it was such a strong presence of God in the room that I just laid there. I says, God, you know, like with all this, I hadn't gone for the operation yet or nothing, but I just knew that he was in control, because he again said, and he said it before, that I've got this. And it's like, even this morning in praise, and we were worshiping and stuff, the songs was about, you know, just resting and becoming quiet and hear the voice of God. And that's what I really sense in my life, that I just want to give him thanks, that I'm beginning to bring everything under, just whatever's going on, just slow it all down and say, and just wait for his voice. Mm-hmm. Just wait to hear his voice.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you. Marvin.
Well, I guess thank God that he helped us get moved back into town. We've been out in Edward for probably a year and a half or so now, and we got moved back into town. When we're looking at places in town, we were talking to a lady, and when we're looking at apartments, we're talking about how much stuff we got and everything we had. And she said, well, I got a better place for you. Mm. A little bit higher rent, but at least you got a better place and more room. So the minute we got into a duplex, which gives us enough room for everything to come out of storage and put it downstairs, plus whatever we needed for upstairs for our rooms, so we can go through all our stuff and get rid of what we don't need anymore. Mm. And what we can hopefully have a yard sale or a yard in spring, and get rid of whatever we don't need, and we haven't opened for the last 3-4 years.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be nice to be able to get rid of probably, or even better than half of the stuff we got, because it just takes up a lot of space and a lot of time to move, which mm-hmm. is no fun.
Right. And now you're not paying for a storage unit either.
No storage unit to pay for. No gas to worry about, the back and forth to work every day.
Oh, you're in the money now.
And it's a matter of a 10-minute walk from where we are to work. So I don't even doubt, well, other than wintertime, I need a vehicle, but we'll use my bicycle instead of the car. So I'm just thank God that we're able to get in, and the opportunity was there. We were afraid we might not have enough money to get into all the utilities, because they got all this extra cost for $300 down for this, $300 down for that. And they wavered all the, for the gas,
praise
power,
the Lord.
And the water. Well, the water we had to pay for, because when we paid for it, the computers were down. And they didn't think we had a good track record in paying the water bill. But as for gas and power, they wavered it, so we didn't have to put the down payment on it.
Thank you,
we
Father.
Only allowed us to have to worry about paying what we're going to be using, and the waiver can just be there, and we won't have to pay it. So I just thank God that we were able to get in, mm-hmm. and we managed to find the finances we got for it. I know it gave up my holidays, because I took my holiday vacation pay from work to help out in covering all the rest of the costs. Mm-hmm. So just thank you, Lord, and everybody. That was
beautiful.
Jesus name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's awesome. Right on. Kelly, come on up. Thank you, Father. You're a good dad.
Thank you.
Not all you. I was talking to him. You would be a good dad, too, though, I bet.
Well, I was in the hospital a couple of weeks, and I met this gentleman in there, and he had problems with drinking, and he had to get an operation. So I was getting passes on Sunday and Saturday for the men's group. And Dean was the one picking me up, which is pretty cool. And so the guy asked me, we talked a lot. We were watching football. Well, I'm a Bomber fan. He's an Eskimo fan. So we were watching that game. The Bombers destroyed him. But anyways, he asked me about church, because he wanted to change his life. He didn't want to go back to the drinking and everything. So the Lord led me to say my testimony of what I went through, what happened with my drinking, because I haven't had a drink in almost 15 years, and that's only God. And he thanked me so much. He gave me his number. And before his operation, I phoned him at the hospital. I told him I'd pray for him and his wife, and because she's getting a knee operation. And he was so happy. So I'm going to call him. Probably in a few days, he'll be back home. And that's
awesome.
That was God all the way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's awesome. Being used is so fun.
Well, mine's kind of cool because it was... It's a blessing from God, definitely a blessing from God. A month or so ago, UFA decided to shut down a lumber mill or a lumber place in Fort Mac. It's called Spruce Land, so I got voluntold to go down and do cleanup. So we're all cleaning up down there. There's about six of us down there, and when we're down, our manager just told him, he's like, if you see anything you like, and if it's small enough to fit in the back of a truck, throw it in, you get it for free.
Whoa.
So I ended up with a lot of stuff. I was a little picky of what I wanted, but it was a huge blessing because I ended up getting an air compressor, two guns, a drill, impact, battery charger with those, and a couple of other random things for work that I just brought back with me. But me and Jeff went to Rona and a couple other places just to price it out of how much it would have been brand new. Like, they were used, but they're brand new to me. It's about $3,000.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a blessing just seeing that. It's like, it worked out perfect because the house that me and Cassandra officially are getting, we want to fix it up anyway.
Yeah.
And it's perfect tools of what I needed to fix up the house.
Oh,
so
thank you, Father.
Bless.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, you. What are you thankful for today?
I'm thankful for to be back in school.
Are you?
Yes, to learn.
Wow.
And to make new friends.
You're very impressive to say that. You know, there's a lot of people who would never say that.
Yes.
But you're a remarkable person, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Praise the Lord. Thanks for sharing. Hey, Felix. Welcome. Nice to have you today. Hey.
Well, my one is quite a little bit long, but I'll cut short, okay?
I'm going to sit.
No, it's okay. Okay, I really thank God, you know, that because I'm born in the Buddhist family and he brought me to Christianity and he showed himself to me. And I really thank God that he brought me to this church, to you guys. And I really appreciate of each and every one of you guys here in support us in Kelowna and all this, you know, when the Lord bring us to Kelowna. And I really appreciate for your prayer. Because I believe it is through your prayer that, you know, that we see the miracles in Kelowna and all these things. And I really thank God for all of you. And I really thank God that, you know, there's many times that we have out of money. You know, there's one time in Kelowna when I was like, I look at the bank account, it's zero. And so, and that day, the worry just came to me, just hit me. So I say to God, you know, it's zero now, what should I do? And you told me not to work, you told me to get into ministry there. And then the Lord just told me, it's just a number. I was like, what? It's just a number? It's money. And then just a couple hours later, we received the money, just supernatural in the bank account just appeared the money. I was like, wow, that is God. That is God. And I really thank God. And then he brought us back here for 3 months. And after these 3 months, and the Lord is bringing us back to Malaysia. And yeah, I really thank God for that. And when I was 17 years old, when I see God, and he told me that I'm going to be a pastor when I was 30 years old, And guess what? I'm 30 years old now. And I received the offer from my church in Malaysia. And because my spiritual father is stepping down as a pastor. And I'm going to be a pastor in Malaysia. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, read and score for everything. Yeah.
That's awesome. Colleen. And then Colleen too? Come on up here, sister.
Okay, I have a couple things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the Word of God that it comes out of you when you're put under pressure. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and every time they did something that hurt, I would just say, "Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus." And then I was watching Pastor Prince on TV, and two of the nurses came in, and they're like, "What's that guy talking about?" And I go, "He's talking about Jesus." So it was a ministry opportunity, and Wayne had the same thing when he was in the hospital. Even though we didn't want to be in the hospital, God used us where we were under pressure and we could minister to people. Yeah. So that was just so amazing. Mm-hmm. Plus, because I can't lift and Wayne can't lift, and our situation at home, people have stepped up and really helped us out. So I'm very grateful for people, and it always works out. Yep. It always works out.
Yep.
And like the devil wants to attack, mm-hmm. and as he has you down, he's trying to get more on you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I lost my wallet. And even in all of that, he sends blessings over top of that to cover because I lost my wallet.
There you go. Beautiful. Awesome. Colleen.
I'm thankful for this church and my job. I am able to invite people to come to the healing rooms, and I have a testimony of someone that I was going to meet outside, and he didn't show, so I seen him again, and I said, Tuesday at 7 to 9, and he came, and he shared how he's calling, and I can't believe how much they knew about me. And I said, "That's God." He says, "I went home and I told my dad," and his dad said, "Oh, BS," right?
And so,
yeah.
Supernatural.
So he came again the following Tuesday, and he says, "Dad, you've got to come with me." He said, "This is so real." So I just want to encourage the healing room. You guys are doing an amazing job, and I will continue to encourage more people to come.
Right on. Very good. Very good.
Blessing supplied. That's a good one. Oh, Fran.
Hi. I've got a praise report. It's a year ago next week since I had my incident. And I just thank the Lord that I have no deficits. Actually, it's a miracle that I came through. Mm-hmm. And I just thank him for that. And I wanted to thank him publicly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow, it's already a year.
Okay. Is this working very well? Is it okay? All right. Well, if that message doesn't work on the internet, then so be it. Okay, so thanksgiving. When we do our good news reports, we are giving thanks. We are bearing testimony to God, are we not? So on this day, Thanksgiving Day, who are you thanking when you give thanks? What are you acknowledging when you give thanks? And what does the Bible really have to say about that? I went through the scripture over the last few weeks and looked up verses on Thanksgiving. And the page, I just got tired of writing. There was a lot of verses on Thanksgiving. And I want to look at a couple. We're going to look at a couple today. I'm not going to read them through. Lots of them are in the Psalms. I'm not going to read them through completely, but I want you to write them down and use them as tools in your own Thanksgiving journey with the Lord. So I'm going to read part of Psalm 107. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Give thanks in Hebrew is yada. Give thanks means yada, and it means to throw or to cast. So when you take that word and you dissect it from the Hebrew, it means confess, glorify, give praise, give thanks, throw down. Where do we see somebody giving thanks and throwing down in the scripture? Can anyone think of anywhere? My first thought was Revelation chapter 4, when the elders cast their crowns before God, when they get off their thrones and they praise him and glorify him and they throw down thanks to God. And they're literally throwing their crowns down in thanks to God. Now that alone, we could spend probably 45 minutes discussing easily. Verse 43 of Psalm 107, it's a very long psalm, but verse 43 says, at the very end of all of this, okay, thanking God, I'm gonna go to the handheld, I don't like this at all. It says, whoever is wise, let him heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Whoever is wise, let him give heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Okay, give heed in Hebrew means keep watch, observe with extreme care. And consider means to understand with discernment. So the verse is saying, whoever is wise, okay, pick me. I choose to be wise. Whoever is wise, let him keep watch, observe with extreme care these things, what the rest of the psalm is talking about in instructing us in giving thanks, okay? Let men consider, let men understand with discernment. Let's really get what's going on here, okay? The steadfast love of the Lord. Steadfast love in Hebrew means favor. It means favor. Who wants the favor of the Lord in their life? Consider, understand with discernment his steadfast love. Thanksgiving, therefore, produces favor. When we go through verses on thanksgiving, we often see as well that praise and worship are usually very closely tied to those, to it. They're closely associated, aren't they? So when we look at some of the other Psalms, Psalm 9, for example, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all thy wonderful deeds. See, it's very easy to move on, right? I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all thy wonderful deeds. In Hebrew, it reads, I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High. So praise and thanks are interchanged in this verse. Here, righteousness means his justice and vindication. The psalm is about David dealing with enemies that have wronged him without cause. Anyone else been there? And he gives worship and honor to God for what he's done in his life in response to that, as a result of God's working in his life. In Psalm 30, I promise we're not doing everything. In Psalm 30, verse 4, it says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Sing praises to the Lord Yahweh, give thanks to his holy name. Hebrew, give thanks. It says, give thanks at the memory of his holy name. Give thanks at the memory of his holy name. So what is the person doing? They're recalling him. They're recalling things about him. They are recalling what he's done for them. English sucks when it comes to understanding Hebrew. It really does. It takes a lot more words in English to comprehend
what the Hebrew just knows automatically. A very notable example of giving thanks at the memory of his holy name or because of what he's done, etc., comes out of 2 Chronicles 20. If you've got your Bible, turn there with me. 2 Chronicles 20. Of course, these are the history books. 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to read 13 through 30 because some of you didn't go to Sunday school. Meanwhile, all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of blah, 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 blah. And he said, "Hearken, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, fear not, and be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the valley, at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And then they rose in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went out before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And they began to sing and praise. The Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil from them, they found cattle in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God, not, "Oh my God, he's going to kill me," the fear, as in reverent respect, of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought their enemies against the enemies, or had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, as in at peace, for his God gave him rest round about. Wow. Isn't that something? It's an account of the enemies of Israel at their gates. And the prophet gives an instruction. And they did what? What was the instruction? They were told to sing to the Lord. they were told to give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That was their job. That was it. Was it heartfelt? Was it desperate? Was it a battle plan? The Old Testament, really the whole of the Old Testament, is an account of life before the new covenant, where the Holy Spirit became our permanent resident, and the need for them, the need for clear, concise direction from God, it was really the difference between life and death for them. It was the difference between oppression and slavery or having freedom. And it came through the people, it came through the prophets, those words. And mega demonstrations of his power and his goodness to help people understand who he is. We think we're less uncivilized today, but we still have enemies that either we are being oppressed by or we are free from. And consequently, we're able to help others become free from those things as well. So in the Old Testament, we have piles of verses that connect thanksgiving with God and thanking God with what he's done for the people. You see a lot of that in the Old Testament. It was an action-reaction thing. They didn't really have a big-picture mentality the way we do now. We've been given the blessing of hindsight. We've been given the blessing of foresight and insight and Holy Spirit sight. We have things that those people did not have. And in the New Testament, we're commanded to make thanksgiving a way of life. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, did I tag these ones, make it easier on myself? No. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, we all know it, no, 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul said to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, in all circumstances. God is not sadistic. Why would he want us to give thanks in all circumstances? Is there something we don't know? He instructed Adam, don't eat the fruit. There was a reason. And look how that turned out. So could he possibly have a reason for instructing us now as well? Is there something we don't know? By spirit inspiration, we're commanded to give thanks to God. Philippians 4:6, Paul adds, not to be anxious as well. He says, keep your cool. Don't get stressed about it. Tell God what you need or what you want with an attitude that expresses thank you. Thank you very much for doing it, okay? And you will what? You'll have what you say. Let's look at Luke 17. We can all turn there as well because I'm going to be there for a couple minutes. Luke 17, starting at verse 11. So we had an Old Testament example, and just look at what Jesus does here in Luke 17. Starting in verse 11, this is about the 10 lepers that get healed. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Okay, Samaritans didn't even believe the same things as the Jews. And he said to them, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That Samaritan came back, fell on his face, and gave him thanks. The others were Jews, but they didn't even come back. Why did Jesus point this out? There is nothing in the scripture that's there by accident. There is something for us to learn in everything that's on this, on these pages. So why did Jesus point this out? He says in verse 19 that this man's faith has made him well. That's another whole interesting rabbit trail we could go down, but we won't. Can we suppose, though, that something contrary might have happened to those other nine? Does that make sense? Am I losing you? He says to the one, your faith has made you well. Is it possible something contrary happened to the other nine? Don't know. Just saying. Maybe it was not just physical, but spiritual wellness that had now come upon this Samaritan. He had been freed physically. Now maybe he was freed spiritually. And probably he brought that good news back to Samaria with him. Interesting, huh? Kevin. Do some translations say he was made whole? Probably. I don't have that in front of me.
That's great.
Kevin makes the point that in some translations he's questioning if it says that he was made whole, whole. So that would lend to the fact that not only his physical body was healed, but the whole of him was healed. He came into spiritual health as well. Jesus is Messiah. Life changes when you figure that out. So, King James says whole. Thanks, Ken. So, where am I? I turned the page, didn't I? Okay, doesn't this speak to our human condition? In the familiar, we can become thankless, praiseless, and selfish. Those Jews were familiar. Those Jews were in Jerusalem. Those Jews were already at a place where, they knew Jesus as a rabbi anyway. They didn't experience him in any further capacity at that time that we know of. But isn't it interesting that how we can lose our thankfulness when we are in things that are so familiar? All it takes is 1 week in a tent, and are you not thankful for your bed again? Right? All it takes is 1 week when the kitchen sink doesn't work and there's no plumbing, and you're doing dishes or in the bathroom sink or doing paper plates for a week, and are you not thankful again when your plumbing in your kitchen works again? Right? How amazing it is that we can become so thankless so quickly. When we have been in his goodness for a long time, when we've been in his provision for a long time, when we have been under his protection for a long time, we can lose sight of just how amazing he is. It's possible. Gratefulness is defined as knowing awareness that we are recipients of goodness. Knowing awareness that we are recipients of goodness. So thanks, praise, and worship actually are very closely connected. So the question I ask is, does it then actually help to locate us? Does this truth actually help to locate us? If we don't really worship him, is it an indication of our true level of thanks, which reveals our true thoughts and our true perspective on our life? if we aren't thankful to him, are we really praising and worshiping him? Praise and thanksgiving has the power to bring a lot to us. It brings proper humility, properly placed praise, properly placed credit. Humility is a good thing. Healthy humility, not I'm a worm. Proper humility is, I am your daughter. You love me so much. You are my most high, most powerful dad. Nobody can beat you on the whole block. I love being your kid. That is properly placed humility. I don't have to solve this problem, Daddy. You will. Thank you. That is properly placed humility. I'm not a worm, and neither are you. That is oppression. That is religion. You need to get over it. Praise and thanksgiving has the power to remind us of who God really is. He really is God, not the devil. It reminds us of who is really all-powerful, not the devil, not you, not me. Who has the power? Who really has the power to deal with the boss, to deal with the kid, to deal with the parent, to deal with the bank account, to deal with the government, to deal with the spouse, to deal with that knee, to deal with that hearing, whatever it is? Properly placed humility reminds us of who has the power, who has the authority, and who is able to make all things new. It reminds us of who really can control and change our circumstances, and it gets us back into peace. Praise and worship, thanksgiving to God, thanksgiving helps us to settle back into his peace. And it focuses us on him, his character, his goodness, his word, his promises, his covenant with us, his faithfulness to us. So you can see what is yet to manifest. When I focus on him, all this, you know, there's that scripture, or no, it's a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. They lose their roaring power against me. They lose their ability to shake me up. They go strangely dim in the light of his glory, his goodness, his magnificence. Isn't that a place that brings us into peace? In thanksgiving, there is no room for complaining. There's negative attitudes change when we're in thanksgiving. We get focused on him. Attention comes off the struggle. And it helps us to declare the good. Psalm 103, 1 to 22 is a good spot for that if you want to look at it. So let's look at John 6. I'm going to go to the end of the Gospels. Verse 1 says, after this, Jesus went to the other side of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. He went up the mountain. He taught them. It was a big, big crowd. Lifting up his eyes, seeing the multitude coming to them, Jesus said to Philip, how are we to buy bread so that these people can eat? This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii couldn't buy all the people this bread that they need, blah, blah, blah. Then his disciples say, there's this boy over here who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And of typical of the time, they don't even include the women and kids in this mix, but there was probably at least 20,000 people, at least 20,000 sitting there. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "Indeed, this indeed the prophet who is, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." So they were blown away. My question to you is, how did this happen? How did that happen? The word thanks in Greek, because now we're in the New Testament, we're reading from a Greek translation. The word thanks in the Greek is eucharista. Eucharista. It means good. It means grace. Jesus acknowledged God's goodness. He acknowledged God's grace and abundance manifested. Hello? Abundance manifested. Eucharista. In Acts 16, 25 to 34, Paul and Silas are in jail. In verse 26, it says they started singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening to him. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's fetters became unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, we're all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once with all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced with all his household that he had believed in God. Praying. That word in the Greek, talking about Paul and Silas in the jail, it means an exchange of requests. Singing hymns to God. In Greek, it means praise. The next verse, "And suddenly a great earthquake." And freedom for Paul and Silas physically. And freedom for others spiritually. Praise, thanksgiving, made an earthquake, made fetters supernaturally open up. Psalm 22, verse 3. "Yet thou art holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." In Hebrew, the verse literally reads, "But you are holy," H-O-L-Y, "enthroned in the praises of Israel." Enthroned is the Hebrew word yashab. It means abides, occupies, dwells, sealed. So praise of God brings the presence of God. What does that mean for our daily life? The Bible says the enemy is already defeated because of Jesus. So the spiritual battle is finished. The earth and all its inhabitants will soon be back under the perfect leadership of Jesus Christ. Today's spiritual warfare is primarily in the mind. The enemy tries to convince us that the battle isn't over, that we still need to fight to get our victory, that we still need to do something because what Jesus did wasn't enough. We must recognize the enemy goes after our minds, our thinking. He's twisting God's words all the time. Did God really say? Where have you heard that before? Praise and thanksgiving silences the enemy. When we praise and thank God for the finished work of the cross, it irritates the devil because he can't get you off the truth. He can't run you off your victory road. Jesus did it all. Now all we must do is thank him for it. He inhabits the praises of his people. Thank him for the finished work. Therefore, where he is, the devil can't operate. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says that our warfare weapons are not carnal. We don't need a gun. We don't need a knife. We don't need to use our fists. We don't need to yell at people in an elevator. It also means that if we think we can gain a victory, climb that mountain, whatever, through natural means, we're going to be devastated. Most natural problems have a spiritual root. But we, as the born again, don't have natural limitations, right? We don't have natural limitations for combating spiritual challenges. Here's an example I'll give you, and it's one that I think we've shared a little bit of this story in our church here before. There was a lady some years ago who had come to us to deal with a past issue in her life that had, it was like 40 plus years in the past, but it was still affecting her now, which is what spiritual issues do. So through prayer, the situation was addressed and it was dealt with. Okay. Spiritually, it was dealt with. Jesus finished it, and she went on her merry way. In the weeks that followed, her grown children began to have a relationship breakthroughs within the family unit that had been stuck for over 20 years. It was the result of using spiritual weapons against spiritual forces that had affected the natural realm, the flesh and blood realm. That's just one example. We underestimate the weapons that we have at our disposal. We underestimate the weapon of thanksgiving. God has instructed us many times in Scripture how to overcome. Doesn't matter what your enemy is, if it's physical, you're sick, doesn't matter. Mental, you struggle with a sound mind, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's a physical thing a boss or whatever, even yourself, ourselves can be our enemies at times. We just need to grow up and get it done. Thanksgiving is a huge spiritual weapon. It's highly effective, highly underrated, and for some it's extremely difficult to use. And I'm going to say the reason why it's extremely difficult to use is because of pride. And only you know if that's you. We must recognize that we get what we say. So the question is, what if what we're doing or saying is the opposite of what he says? If we get what we say, what if we're saying the opposite? Even just by doing the opposite of thanking God, of praising God, of worshiping God. Even just by doing that, what's going to happen to us? Romans 1:21 says this in verses 21 and 22. For although they knew God, so we're talking about a people who knew God. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Now, I know we like to pigeonhole a certain group of people when we read those verses, but there's a concept there that spans any person, any generation of time, any bend in terms of your where you are spiritually. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And then they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds, their stupid attitude made it so they became darkened even in their ability to comprehend. Whoa. This verse speaks to the importance of giving God his due. Honoring him for who he is and thanking him for who he is and what he's done. If we're not, we're fortifying the enemy. We're giving him ammunition against us. That alone should sober us up. Oh my goodness. God has given us a command to thank him, not because he's an egocentric dictator. He knew how it would help us. He knew how it would keep us on the right track. He knew how we could get deliverance that way. He knew how we could get healing that way. Everything that he has wanted for Adam and Eve in the garden that they lost in the fall, he had a way to get back to us. Okay? And part of the strategy is giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a spiritual weapon, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How we get the breakthrough? In Colossians 4:2, it says to continue, press in strongly, with fervency, with desperation, not panicked, but purposeful zeal, praying, exchanging of requests, watching, being vigilant, on alert, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with appreciation. It builds our faith for the next thing when we do that. The term Eucharista, come out of that we get what? The Eucharist, which in the traditional churches is their name for communion. What's communion supposed to be? It's meditation. It's meditating on the finished work of the cross. The blood paid for your sin. The broken body paid for everything else. Getting back for you everything that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. So when we take communion, when we are in gratitude, Eucharista, we are in a position where we're giving proper thanks and praise and honor to God. And that's how he can get back to us all of what his covenant holds for us. Everything that's been lost, everything that's been stolen. It builds our faith, and faith produces. There's no question that life on earth is getting harder around the world. And we in Canada, you know, we're very fortunate that we are still living under some of a residual blessing from past godly leadership, especially in Alberta. And if we could look at this, if we could peel back the layers and look at it on some kind of a map or something and see how all of this stuff comes together, you know, Reverend Eberhardt back in the what, 30s, 40, whatever that was, oh my goodness, there is still residual blessing we have today in Alberta because of that man. I'm telling you, we are so fortunate here in Alberta. And others like him, other people like him. The Judeo-Christian value system, believe it or not, is more preserved here in Alberta than it is in any other province in Canada. And we are seriously being threatened right now. Seriously being threatened. It is getting darker. And we know if we are at the point where we are in this, the last day, it's going to continue to get darker and harder. we are very fortunate, like I said, to be under a certain level of protection here because of the blessing of past leadership. But it's fading. Much of the world is suffering very terribly, the people. The earth is suffering. The earth is groaning for a manifestation of the sons of God. Evil and good are being redefined in the world right now. Christianity and Judaism are under attack. First time in history where both have been under attack in the same way. The prophetic lists of manifestations before the end are, I don't know if there's anything left on that list. The check marks are coming fast and furiously. We need our weapons now. We need our fortification in Him more than ever before. We need fellowship with Him more than ever before. The time of our departure seems very close at hand. Before we go, though, there are people to save. There are fights to win. There are devils to beat up. There are captives that need to be freed. And we can do it and still enjoy life. That's the amazing thing about God. So why would we make it harder on ourselves than it has to be? Use the weapons you've been afforded, especially the ones that take so little energy. Praise, thanksgiving, worship, they are such powerful stealth weapons, and they're not a lot of effort. They're fun. If you haven't been in a place to use them, examine your heart. Figure this out. Figure out why. If you do praise and thank and worship the Lord, build your weapons capacity for victory by going stronger and flying higher. This time on the calendar, this last day, we need to do this. It may be different. It may be the difference, really, between life and death. You know, the Old Testament, they did certain things, and it was literally their freedom or becoming a slave. We might not see this stuff in the natural realm as clearly as we need to, but from a spiritual perspective, it's going to manifest in the natural eventually. We need to do this. Your family needs you to do this. Your business needs you to do this. Your community needs you to do this. Praise is a weapon. Thanksgiving is a weapon. Use it. Use it. Amen. So let's pray. Father, you brought this up for a reason. We really do need to know if we're really not praising and thanking you, if we're really not thankful to you, if we really are not putting you as the reason why things are how they are in terms of the good things in our life, if we're really not thanking you that way, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to attack. We're missing out in a huge way as well. And Father, I just pray over us that we would be willing to let you show us. We would be humble enough to realize we're not God. We don't have all the answers. You can do it way better than we can, a lot faster than we can, and it'll be a lot more fun. So I ask, Lord God, for any in this place this morning who have hard hearts toward you, who have an attitude that they are their own boss, who have an attitude that nobody did anything for them and they're going to keep going, taking care of themselves that way because that's the only thing that works for them. Lord, I pray for those people. Because as the days grow darker and as the attack turns up, as that heat turns up, we are going to need to use our warfare weaponry far more stealthily, far more often, and only if we are in that place of humility with you will we ever really get there. Otherwise, we're going to be just like the world, running around with this bewildered look on our face, panicking. And that is not what you want for your bride. So I pray for all of us to come up higher. Come up higher. We yield ourselves to you. You have nothing but the best for us. I pray that you'd help us gently to get there for your glory and because you love your kids and you want us to have a good time till we come see you. Permanently and home in heaven, that's the best, but it can be heaven on earth. even now. We do say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. Thank you, Father, for getting back to us everything that's been stolen. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for being so patient with us. You have a great day in store for us, a great month in store for us, a great year in store for us, if we will only let you be the loving Father you want to be. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. Today, as we go our separate ways, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord have his countenance pour out over you in such a way that you know it's him. Let his favor and his rest fill you today. We have a choice. We can let him or not. But all who say, yes, Abba, I want all that you have for me. Let's all say it together. Amen.